Do you remember offhand what your headline is?
Ask me how I grew my LinkedIn following 25 times in 18 months and how I work with solopreneurs and companies to brand themselves on LinkedIn. And I also integrated some personal stuff. Mom of three, Buffalo Bills fan. In fact, I recently added the Bills logo to my banner and I did a poll first and I asked people, I'm like, so what do I do? And the Bills season was still going on. So I'm like, what do I do? And I had more people than not telling me to put it in. And honestly, if you would have asked maybe 10 years ago, I don't know if all these people would have been all about that, but it shows my personality. And I have had Bills fans that are sending me messages wanting to connect. So it opens up more conversation. It's just like a networking event. I could wear my Bills shirt to a networking event and meet more people and say, yeah, go Bills. So it's the same thing.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Deanna Russo. Deanna, what's up? How are you today?
Good. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you today because I love LinkedIn, and you are a LinkedIn strategist at Leverage Up LLC. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Leverage Up.
You got it. So before we get into what I do, I want to get into where I started on LinkedIn. So I started a profile in 2008. And back then, LinkedIn had a whole different dynamic than what it does now. It was more of a press release vehicle. It was used by companies. It was used by businesses. If you were looking for a job, you would go on to LinkedIn. So for about 10 years, I didn't spend a lot of time on it. But that changed and the mindset shifted in 2018. So about 10 years or so after I started my first profile. And it was because I was in a sales role and they wanted me to use LinkedIn as the primary way to bring in new business. And I thought, well, I already have a LinkedIn account, so now it's just a matter of seeing what's going on, spending a little bit of time. And what I realized was that I was treating it wrong for several years, that it had a lot more capabilities than what I was using it for. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people that I have run into said, yeah, I've had a profile, but I really haven't used it that much. So there's a relatable part there. So in that sales role, what they wanted me to do was to cold call people using LinkedIn. So there was a script and you can copy and paste it and write in direct messages. Well, it didn't take long before I realized that's not my jam. I'm not about that. I'm not about spamming people. And since then, I have taken on a whole different direction when I changed that mindset of it really is not a sales vehicle. The way I compare those cold call messages is to a vacuum cleaner salesman coming up on the door and knocking on the door trying to sell you something. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I like you. Why would I trust you? So in the end, LinkedIn is just a big networking event. And when I work with my clients, what I do is I have taken the strategy that worked for me and now I help other people. So it's really three pieces. It is about your profile. And the profile, the best metaphor I can give for it is the billboard that you see along the side of a highway. Mm-hmm. It is your billboard, your online billboard. For some people, they don't even have a website. So really their LinkedIn profile is the be all and end all to get to know them. The second thing is engagement. And it's opening up those conversations with people. And what I teach my clients is do it strategically. Mm. And then the third part is really the content piece, where it's you giving your own take on whatever it is. And right now, Ben, there's 810 million people on LinkedIn, and only 3% of those are actually creating content on it. So what I tell my clients is there's plenty of room in the sea for you. I mean, there's plenty of, it's not like you're shoulder to shoulder with other fishes. So there's plenty of room for you to have your own pool and swim around.
I love this. So the profile, the engagement, intentional engagement, and the content creation, there's plenty of room. Is that big three? Is that the triangle strategy that you
teach? That's the triangle strategy. Yep.
Got it.
That's what I work, because you can't really have one without the other. I feel like there's a connection, just like any other triangle. It won't look good if there's just one part of it. So.
Okay. So profile, content, and engagement. I kind of want to dissect the three, but one thing I was curious about in your original story there is you talked about how it was your job at one point. You were cold messaging people on LinkedIn, a lot of copy paste. I'm curious as to what those copy pasted messages looked like, kind of dissect what you were doing wrong. And it wasn't really your fault. It was just kind of what the company asked you to do, kind of dissect what we were doing wrong, and maybe kind of explain what even if I were to copy paste or use a script that I can fill in the blanks with, a little bit about what it should look like. What did those messages look like, Deanna?
Yeah, so it was the sales role was for a small IT firm, and it was the staffing and recruiting branch of that IT startup. So I was really looking to connect with companies who are hiring that we could help them fill those positions. And so it was a matter of connecting to the right people as well. So I didn't know at the time whether the HR manager at that company was the right person or whether it was someone else. So, so it really was copying and pasting and putting a script in there in order to just connect to the right people. So it's because everyone's company was different as far as staffing goes. But on the other hand, the better way to do it is to open up conversations with people. For example, if someone sent me a connection request on LinkedIn and they said something that they got out of my about section, for example, that they were reading and that they can really relate with X, Y, and Z that I wrote, that is almost an instant. Like I don't even hesitate to connect with that person because, Ben, they took the time to read. And there's a lot of people that they're like, oh, you have so many followers. I want to connect with you. Oh, I'm going to be visible because I'm connected to you. Well, I want to connect with people that honestly want to connect as opposed to people that just do it for reasons that aren't as honest.
Selfish reasons.
Yeah.
They're thinking what's in it for them rather than what's in it for you.
Yes.
And they're thinking, oh, if I connect, there could be something in it for me. I can tag her in a post. And maybe that if I tag her in a post, I'll get more likes on my page because people think I know Deanna. It's a very selfish kind of spray and pray approach, isn't it?
Right. Spray and pray is the best thing to call it. And spam tagging is one of the things that I list under things not to do, because you are taking advantage of people's network. For example, if you were at a networking event and you had a group of colleagues around you, would you I'm trying to make a metaphor of introducing them to someone because they have a bigger network than you do. See what I mean? Like you're just bringing them into it, but the post itself or the content has nothing to do with that person. As opposed to if I were writing a post about your podcast, about having this podcast and the interaction, something that I picked up from it, and I tagged you, then you have a definite connection to what I'm talking about, as opposed to someone who's just like, oh, let's bring her in. She's got so many, like, those are instant blocks for me. And I've blocked almost 400 or so people on LinkedIn. But that being said, I have 25,000 people in my network. So there's a lot more good people than people that I don't want anything to do with. It's definitely more lopsided for the good that there is on LinkedIn.
Yeah, way more good than bad. And you 25X'd your LinkedIn growth in 18 months, right? So part of it probably was getting connected to with a lot of blockable people. How did you do that 25X? Is it the triangle strategy? We can obviously break down the triangle strategy, but walk us through maybe where you were and then how in 18 months, 25X. Wow, I don't even know what to say. You did something right?
Yeah, I went from 400 to 11,000 and I didn't even realize it until I was sitting on my sofa one day and I'm like, because I wasn't paying attention to the numbers. I was just having really good conversations, creating videos, which back in 2018, when I started creating videos, Ben, they weren't as common on LinkedIn as they are now. So I'm just going on in a limb here. Chances are my video strategy of twice a week on a consistent basis, and I kept that up for over a year, that had something to do with it. Honestly, I will say, and that's really one of the reasons why I built content into this triangle strategy, is the content piece is important. If you're going to post something and then you go 2 months without posting, that's not consistent. It's not. So some people like to say, well, I don't have the time to create the content. And that's where the engagement piece comes in, because I am regularly engaging with other people in the comments section, even if I'm not posting my own content. I can go a day or two without posting, but if I'm having conversations with people, what the cool thing about LinkedIn is it's second and third degree connections in addition to your network. I mean, it's not like Facebook where you just have so many friends. It's be a spider web effect. So you, multiple people see you, whether they're connected to you or not, because you're having those conversations. It really is just like a big networking event. It's just global.
I love it. And one idea that's been whirling through my head, and I haven't even put out any content about it yet, is I feel like LinkedIn is actually the ultimate social network. When I go on Facebook, it's either clicks, like I only see my friends, I only see posts from my friends, I only connect with my friends. There are groups, that is a different scenario, but just a typical profile. Or if I have a business page, if I don't pay for ads, no one sees any of my stuff. Facebook's algorithm, if I don't pay for ads on my business page, doesn't matter, I have 5,000 followers, not a single one of them, that's a lie, but only a handful of them like and comment on my stuff because they're not seeing it. You go to Instagram, that's less engagement, it's more scrolling and liking, looking. TikTok, again, less engagement, scrolling and liking. LinkedIn is a great way to have a conversation, right? It's like you've got your profile, you've got your resume, you've got your interests, you've got posts. It's very easy to get to know someone at a business professional, but still very personal level, and have a conversation with them. Would you agree that LinkedIn's like the ultimate social, keyword is social, network?
It is. It really is. And honestly, there are reasons why I am not as active on the other ones, because LinkedIn is my happy place. It really is. If you want to sum up Deanna and why she's on LinkedIn, it's her happy place. It's where I have friends. It's where I spend time because it makes me happy. And now I get to show other people with my business what to do on it so that it becomes their happy place too. I honestly think that if it is a job to you and if it's a task and if you don't like it that much, it's not going to be as easy to do what you need to do on it. But if it's your happy place and you really enjoy spending time there, then it's easier to do and then it makes more sense.
You should make a hashtag there.
I should. LinkedIn is my happy place.
I love that. It's not uncommon. So I love the podcast as well, but it's not uncommon. I'll be on doing podcast editing or on LinkedIn. And then my girlfriend or my roommate right now, they'll be like, "You're working all the time." And I'm like, "This isn't work. This is why this is fun.
Yes. Yes.
I get to connect with people." So LinkedIn's your happy place. What does... You could give me a day or a week. I don't know if you're on LinkedIn every day, but what does an ordinary day or an ordinary week look like? What kind of engaging are you doing? What kind of content are you posting? What is it scheduled and planned out? You tell me.
It's really not scheduled and planned out. I have some ideas for what would make a good post, but I don't have a scheduler. In fact, I recently commented on a post where the person was looking for scheduling apps. And I'm like, I don't have one, but I'm going to bring my network over here to maybe someone in my network can help you. And that's what this is all about. Like, that's why I commented on that post, not because, just because I wanted my people to come over and see it. And that really has a lot to do with the commenting, but it's, I wish I could say that I have a schedule for what I put out, but I really don't. I feel like I post a good majority of my content around LinkedIn because it's my business. But that being said, people who have been following for a while also know I have 3 kids. They know that I am literally running around all the time with my kids. And they also know little things like the first day of my birthday month, I posted something about how crazy it is and that my birthday is coming up. So it's like you have to lead with the professional on LinkedIn, but then slowly integrate some of the personal stuff too. And that's why that will go back to your headline on your profile. It will go back to your about section. It will go into your content. If you just think lead with professional, but then integrate a little personal, then people are getting to know what you do. And then they're getting to know a little bit more about you as an individual.
I love that. So lead with the professional, bring in some personal. I know I personally, even if it's professional, I try to add a little bit of nuance as to my life or ask a question to the audience to continue. Because in the comments, you can get very personal, right?
Well, yeah.
Tell me about do you have any strategies for the comment section?
I feel like if the post is good enough, then you can have a really good conversation in the comments. My biggest thing with comments is when someone says great post, I'll actually call them out and say, so what's great about it? Or they say loved it. I'll say, well, what'd you love about it? Because it's a conversation. So to reply in a comment with 2 or 3 words isn't enough. And so I bring them out into the conversation. Come on, tell me more. I mean, a couple sentences is something. But I've gotten pretty good with commenting and bringing myself to the conversation without taking away from the original person too. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to take away from the original person, but that person that I'm commenting on will then repay the favor. And it's just shaking hands.
Shaking hands. It's a like and trust. It's getting to know each other. It's conversation. Let's break down the big 3. So there was profile, content, and engagement. we're touching on all of them, but let's organize it so we can kind of dive a little deeper on each of these three. And let's start with profile, because I believe that as a marketer, I'm in the first impression business. So someone can get a referral and then go to your website. And if the website's trash or has bugs or has an arrow or privacy issues, they're going to turn away and never call you. So I want to start with the profile, because I think it's very important that people have a strong profile. So when they're engaging and putting out good content, the landing page, that website, that bio, a lot of people use LinkedIn as their website. That should be great. So do you have any opinions on LinkedIn profiles as a whole, whether it's from the image to the cover photo to the bio? We can take it wherever you'd like. We could tackle them all, but what are your thoughts on building a good profile?
I can tell you what the four biggest parts of your profile are from polls that I've run. Mm. If you're connecting with a stranger, what is the first thing you look at that stranger's profile? And the first one, Ben, is the profile picture. Honestly, the people that don't have a picture or the picture is just not as good, probably might not, maybe. There's a lot more question marks with whether that person's going to connect with you as opposed to a really good profile picture. Right. And now for the people that are listening to your podcast, the very good profile pictures are head and shoulders. Exactly the way you see me here is the way you want to fill up your circle on your profile picture. You only get a circle. So for the people who are standing on a really nice mountain and have scenery in the background, sure, that'll look good on Instagram. That's a really good picture for Instagram. But for LinkedIn, we're there to meet you. We're there to get to know you. So how can we get to know you if we can't see you? So the face is important, and how you're expressing yourself is important. Mm. And how you're showing up. The second thing that people look at when they're looking to connect on your profile is your headline. And the biggest mistake people are making, and slowly we're changing things, but the biggest mistake is just putting your job title in that headline.
Right.
Because if I searched account executive, for example, I did actually recently, 6.4 million people are using account executive. Right. Now, mind you, I understand that's a big number, and I understand for people who are selling something, you're probably not searching that. But think about the scene from iRobot with Will Smith, where all of the robots are standing in line.
Exactly the same.
You don't want to be one of those robots because you're just going to mix in with everybody else. The whole goal when I'm working with my clients is to be the differentiator, to be the rainbow robot, the rainbow icon, the green, pink, and purple icon, because you need to get people's attention, and it's about visibility. So that's kind of, those are the two big things. Those are the two big parts. And they both travel with you because you're commenting on something and people see your profile picture and they see your headline. You posting your own content, they see your profile picture, they see your headline. So that's why those are the two biggest, most important parts of your profile.
Do you remember offhand what your headline is?
Ask me how I grew my LinkedIn following 25 times in 18 months and how I work with solopreneurs and companies to brand themselves on LinkedIn. And I also integrated some personal stuff. Mom of three, Buffalo Bills fan. In fact, I recently added the Bills logo to my banner, and I did a poll first and I asked people, I'm like, so what do I do? And the Bills season was still going on. So I'm like, what do I do? And I had more people than not telling me to put it in. And honestly, if you would have asked maybe 10 years ago, I don't know if all these people would have been all about that, but it shows my personality. And I have had Bills fans that are sending me messages, right, wanting to connect. So it opens up more conversation. It's just like a networking event. I could wear my Bills shirt to a networking event and meet more people and say, yeah, go Bills. So it's the same thing.
I love that. It starts conversation so easily. I found one of the easiest ways for me to connect with total strangers is if we're alumni from the same school.
Yes.
From the same town. It yep. doesn't have to be like, hey, you're an account executive and I like to work with account executives. I yeah. wanted to send you a connection request. It's like,
yes.
hey, I see that you went to SUNY Brockport. Congrats on making it big time.
Yep.
Something simple yep. like that, right? But
right.
I'm thinking, so this isn't going to come out right away, so I'll probably change my profile by then. Right yeah. now, I have a very boring cover photo. Any suggestions on what to put on that cover photo with the profile picture?
So one of the things that a lot of people do with their banner image is they put in a skyline picture or something that just looks nice. Yeah. But in the end, that doesn't say anything about you. So one of my clients did something with her banner that I've used as an example to other people. She really liked the skyline picture, but she also worked in IT and she had certain certifications. She put those certifications in her banner image. No one else is going to have one looking like that. Honestly, no one else has done it. And I've liked it so much that I keep checking to make sure that she still has it because I'll be the first to tell her, don't change it. Don't this change looks it. Awesome. Yeah.
I love this. I love this. Yeah. I mean, and just get started, guys. I remember when I started on LinkedIn not long ago, I threw up a bad picture of me hiking. It was a headshot though. And then I had a photo of a Friendsgiving event where there was like 30 of us all in one photo and I was right in the front row. So just kind of like the social bias of Ben has friends outside of LinkedIn. So I just yeah. posted something. Something's better mm-hmm. than nothing. Some people don't yeah. utilize those functions at all, right?
Right. Right. Something's better than nothing. And honestly, a lot of people put a lot of weight into their content when they're posting. Oh my God, I only got two or three comments. That doesn't mean anything. That just means that you got more room to go. That's all. You should be grateful for those two or three comments who did, those people who did comment on it. And then say, okay, I've got more work to do. Let's see how I can step up my game and produce more conversations. You mentioned something about asking questions. Not enough people are asking questions. Not enough people are engaging so that because people won't answer you if you don't ask. So on a recent post, I asked maybe three or four different questions and some people answered one, some people answered a couple. It's At least the conversation's going.
Yeah, start the conversation. So let's get into content. But before, we can't go over everything in the profile. But is there anything really important that you think we missed?
If I had my way, I would move up the recommendations section up more on your profile.
Yeah.
Because they buried the lead with that one. There is a lot of good testimonials that people have to scroll all the way down to see. And honestly, when you're going to a new restaurant, do you or do you not go and Google that restaurant to see what people are saying about it, right? Same thing goes for recommendations. I look at it the exact same way. That if I want to connect with someone, I'm going to see what other people are saying about them. And when people have recommendations that are 5, 10, 15 years old, that restaurant might have been good 5, 10, 15 years ago, but what is that saying about it now?
Right.
So that's why I got a good recommendation recently, and I'm super excited about it. It's about hearing your impact on people through their words. So it's not me bragging about myself. It's other people singing the praises. So that's, and another thing about recommendations is if you want someone to write you one, you write that person one. And that way it's not going to sit on a to-do list. You're paying it forward.
Pay it forward, give to receive. I love that concept. If you post about that, if you have a petition, let me sign it. If you post about it, tag me. I'm on board. Let's move recommendations to the top. I know personally, if anyone goes to realbusinessconnections.com, I put testimonials right at the top of my homepage because I want people to hear what people like them think about the podcast well before they even listen themselves. And even the contact page, I've got a whole slew of testimonials because I want people to see again what other people are saying before they actually go and reach out to me. So I love that idea of putting recommendations as high as possible. That would be cool if you could drag and drop LinkedIn to be in the order you want. But I feel like that might get a little too cluttered and confusing.
Yeah. And then people, all their people's profiles will look completely different too. But I do like the idea of being able to modify it a little bit according to what, I mean, for some people, they really want experience up closer to the top because they've worked in all of these awesome positions and you have to scroll down to see it. So yeah, I think it all depends on the individual, but yeah, that would be a nice feature.
Well, tell me what you think about this, Deanna, because this is something I literally, in my headline we were talking about, it basically says, I forget exactly what it says. I should know, it's my headline, right? But it said, it says, owner Balbert Marketing, Google Balbert Marketing and read my reviews. And the reason I put that in there is for SEO reasons. I want people Googling my name and clicking and review. It's taking action. It's telling Google that people are interested in me and my reviews are good. So it's a call to action for people to actually go and read my reviews. So do you think someone could put that in their headline, like read my recommendations, and then you provide a call to action to let people know to read your recommendations? So there's ways we can work in the system. Do you think that's a good strategy, or does that sound too markety? What are your thoughts?
It sounds markety, and I don't know how many people will follow what you want them to do either. Sure. But if you leave the word owner in your headline, I originally, when I started my business, I had owner in there, and I got all of these people wanting to connect and talk to me because I was a business owner. So I have since taken it out of the headline. I've taken it out of experience. The only people who know that I own the business are people who either research reading the about section or that I talk to. So as much as people really like being business owners, if you put it in there, people are going to find you and they're going to spam you and they're going to sell to you. And you might not, that might not be the ideal.
I really hope people are taking notes right now. I might go take that again. By the time this comes out, that'll be gone from my headline because so many people are trying to pitch me. Hey, I see that you're an owner of a marketing company. I help marketing companies X and Y. Here's my calendar link. And I kind of prefer the mysteriousness that if you do your research, the company's named after my name. So I don't have to put owner in my title, do I?
You don't. Take it out. So let's talk about the know, like, and trust.
Please.
Because that is a really big part of building relationships on LinkedIn. I think that that is really the reason why a lot of people are on there, is to build relationships. And one thing that people do that I always say, don't do this, is to do what I did when I started on LinkedIn, which is cold call sales. And I received an invite to an event, and it was a free event. And I might have considered going virtually to it, but the person who is inviting me, I had never met before. I had never had a conversation. If I had recognized the name, whether I needed to actually sit on a Zoom call or sit on the phone call, that's one thing. There are people that I've never talked to that I consider having conversations with online, you know? So, and that's where I draw the line. That's where it goes into know, like, and trust before you send me anything, before you try to pitch me, before you send me to a free event, know, like, and trust. So that's really, that's a good takeaway I want to leave everyone with.
know, like, and trust? And how do we build know, like, and trust? So we talked about the profile. That's a valuable way because you can actually be transparent on who you are, what you do, how you can help, give info about yourself. We can build know, like, and trust through the engagement in the content, right? Which way do we want to take it? Should we talk about engagement or content to build a little bit of trust?
Let's talk about engagement. So there are avenues of LinkedIn that I work with my clients to go from scroll to strategy.
Okay.
Because it's really not just about what you're seeing. It is about, and I'll say it again, strategically going after those conversations. Mm-hmm. So one example, and again, people should be taking notes because this is valuable information, hashtags. When you're creating content, 3 to 5 is the goal. But did you know that you could also use those hashtags to have conversations with people? And it's about going into what keywords would you like to be found under when it comes to a Google search? Right. If you wanted to, you can go back to Google because you're all about your reviews. If you go back into Google and search words that you want to be found under, just use those words into LinkedIn and you have a whole bunch of conversations that you can contribute to.
I love that. In mm-hmm. the hashtags. And do you recommend people follow hashtags that are in similar yes. hashtags, the ones they use?
That's really the only way that you can contribute to these conversations. And if you make it a weekly thing, then it doesn't feel like, oh, it's something else I need to do on LinkedIn. You just know that every day at a specific time, it's on your calendar, you're going to go in and see what conversations you can contribute to.
Got it. So weekly, this is an action step that anyone can do. Put it in your calendar. How long? 15 minutes a week? Is that enough? It's better than nothing,
maybe,
right?
It might even go up to 30 at some point, but at least to start, it's 15 minutes. And how little time is that too?
It's nothing, especially right. if it can lead to, here's the thing. It's hard to look at KPIs and ROI with something like relationships. And I honestly feel like you want to an extent. I don't want to say you don't want to. You do want to work strategically, but more than anything, don't worry about the ROI or the KPI. Just go and engage. Go and meet good people. How do you quantify the value of a good relationship? Some of my best friends I met on LinkedIn. Some of my best referral sources I met on LinkedIn. It all came from just having conversation, and I wasn't going, oh, when I asked Deanna to come on the show, there was no KPI or anything. It's just I knew that we would jive together and I knew we would get along. And you knew that together we could uplift more people than if I had to do it alone or you had to do it alone. So that's my thought, guys. Just like go in and start and don't worry about being Deanna overnight. Just worry about starting good conversations with great people. If someone is looking to post content, you mentioned like less than 10% of people even post content.
Yeah.
Any recommendations where to start in posting content? Is it as simple as just writing a blurb? What do you recommend?
What is really big on LinkedIn is telling stories. Okay. So if you think about your business or you think about creating content, what kind of stories can you tell? And one of the big things about creating content on LinkedIn that's different than other social media platforms is the hook, which is the first few lines of that post, because the whole goal is to click see more. So that really, your opening line, don't bury the lead. Your opening line is important.
Yeah, I read it from a study that the see more click is just as valuable as a like.
Yeah,
which
it is
surprising to me, but it's very surprising to me. But LinkedIn's algorithms, like if someone's clicking see more, that's more of a genuine engagement than just clicking like and scrolling away.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think
because they're taking the time to read.
So I think the ideal is they click see more, then they react and comment. If you can, mm-hmm. that's a triangle too. Get them to click see more. get them to like it or celebrate or love it. What are your thoughts? I think LinkedIn needs more emojis.
I
want to use the laugh emoji. I want to use the haha emoji a lot more than I can.
Let me throw this out there to you, Ben. I'm okay with reactions just going away altogether.
Okay.
And people just commenting. Because you can only have so many conversations with people just by liking, just by reacting. A client recently reacted to a post I put up, but didn't comment. And then I'm left to wonder, well, why wasn't there a comment? Why? I would rather someone comment, whether it's just a sentence or two, than just react.
I think so. Theoretically, I agree, but some 95% of people don't even post. I think there's a lot of silent observers.
I know, lurkers, they're lurkers.
And I think there's value in them silently observing as well. Because I've had people reach out to me or provide a referral, and I've never met them before. But those are the silent observers, right? So I feel like if we get rid of reactions, we're kind of pushing them off the platform. You're not bullying them into comment, but you're kind of forcing them to comment, or else they, I don't know. I'd love to see a beta test and see what it looks like without it. I'm just resistant that I feel like there could be a lot of lurkers that actually are friends. They just are busy, boom, boom, boom. Huh. I'm going to have to think about that one more.
Yep. And I'm thinking about creating a post about it. That I wonder, like, I can imagine that I get a lot of comments of people that just react to say, no, don't go away with the reactions, because sometimes I don't know what to say. I just want to like it.
Exactly. Or maybe you said it perfect. So I just want to, I like to celebrate posts because it's just like, I don't have time to comment, but I celebrate how awesome you are, kind of thing. I know that's cheesy, but what? So maybe are you going to make a poll? You could make a poll on it.
I don't know. I could make a poll. I could do a poll. And you know what? When you're talking about content, polls, I think that many people abuse polls because they'll just say, well, what do you like to have for breakfast? Or what color are your trees in your neighborhood? Really stupid stuff. But for me, polls, I try to use polls in a way to, if there is a question I want answered, if there is value in that, then I find polls are useful. In my birthday month, I did a series of polls about which songs does Deanna know all the words to. And one week I did 90s, one week I did 80s. And it creates conversations. So people just guess. And then a couple of days later, I put the answer up. And so it creates conversations. That's really the basic of the baseline for LinkedIn is something that's going to create conversation.
Create a conversation. Mm-hmm. I love this. You're just a wealth of insight, Deanna. This has been amazing.
Yep.
I'm wondering, so my internet crashed mid-podcast, which delayed us a little bit. Do we have a little bit more time where we can talk about the what not to do's? Because I'm on this end of the mic and I'm probably going to be like curled up in a ball because I might do these things myself. So if anyone listening does these things, we all make these mistakes. What are some of those big not to do's, Deanna?
There's no judgment because you have time to change and come over to the good side. I'll go to a Star Wars reference from my son and say there's a dark side and there's a good side. So come over to the good side. We talked about cold call sales and we talked about spam tagging. Let's talk about those engagement pods. Honestly, I was part of one for a very short period of time, and the people who belong to engagement pods may have good ideas and may have good reasons for going in, but in the end, it's homework. Just think of it as homework. I am part of this engagement pod, so I have to comment on Sam's post, whether I like it or not. I have to comment on Mary's post, whether I like it or not. So I like the organic commenting because that's really, because I don't comment on things that I don't care about. So I don't want to have to comment on things. That's why the engagement pods are not. And honestly, LinkedIn cracks down on them anyhow. If they find that you're an engagement pod, and then you might be penalized from LinkedIn. So I just recommend that people don't even bother with it.
Do you think that if it's really small, it's okay? Part of why I ask that is because I'm in small groups, and I advocate for employee engagement programs where mm-hmm. maybe there's five of you in a group, and within that small circle, you uplift each other, you comment. I don't think there's necessarily a requirement. If it's not in alignment with your brand, you don't have to. But from my experience, I'm in some small ones. But a lot of people may not know this. There's pods that are like hundreds, if not thousands of people in size, right?
Yes.
So if you ever go to someone's LinkedIn and their profile stinks and their content stinks, but they have 1,000 likes, there's a high probability that it's bots or an automation, right?
Yep. And that's another thing. Automation is another thing that it's when I got that, invite to an event from the person that I didn't know, a lot of people were suggesting that it's automation. And I don't think about that as the first thing, but I know that they're there. I know a lot of companies run automated tools to send these messages out to the masses. But because it's just me, myself, and I putting out my content and me, myself, and I commenting on things, that's not the first thing I think about. So automation, I mean, it's a robot. It's a robot that is doing the great post. I mean, it could in essence be a robot that is just saying great post. So
I'm just thinking a networking event. You wouldn't want to walk around to everybody
with
the exact same pitch. And then if someone actually like shakes your hand and asks a question, then you just bloop, bloop, click a couple buttons, then you take the body, and then suddenly you're not a robot. Like, it would be the most awkward interaction ever. But that's what people's doing online. They're using robots and scripts and automation. And for me, it's obnoxious. I don't know what to say.
It is. And I will tell you that I was at a networking event and someone came in and passed out business cards. I'm not kidding. This actually happened. I witnessed it. I still talk about it to multiple people. Okay. They walked in, passed out business cards, and left. And we all threw away the business cards. So in essence, he wasted gas. He wasted time. And he wasted some business cards because that's all he did. He came in and left. He obviously doesn't know what a networking event was all about, but that's the same stuff that happens on LinkedIn. It's the same stuff that you just, okay, let's do this. Now we're done. No.
I would even add that he actually created a detriment to his brand.
Yeah.
Like, not only did he waste time making himself look worse.
Yes.
Because you're going to see that business card, and now that's going to, it's the opposite of know, like, and trust. It's going to be a misalignment. Anytime you hear his name, you're like, oh, he's a business card guy.
Yep. Business card guy. And I won't refer business to him if I remembered who he was and I didn't know his card. But that's the same idea. Someone can keep it just to say, okay, let's not do business with this person. I am going to blacklist that person. That's detrimental more than just someone throwing it away.
Any more not to do's?
Those are the big ones. Fake profiles. Be on the lookout for people who have fake profiles on LinkedIn. If the picture doesn't look, it looks kind of sketchy. If the network is not that big, if the profile is incomplete, those are three big things to look out for fake profiles. There are plenty of them on LinkedIn, plenty of people who put out fake profiles, and LinkedIn tries to catch them, and they catch a lot of them, but some of them fall through the cracks. So be on the lookout for people that they're really not real.
Thanks for bringing that up. I'm thinking to myself, two of the things I often look at is I'll look at how many connections slash what mutual connections we have, but I'll look at how many connections and I'll look at recent posts. And yeah. There was one profile, for example, he had 10,000 connections and he had never posted before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in his messaging trying like to get me to book a call. And I said, well, have you read my profile? Well, why should we get on a call? And he's like,
right.
I want to get on a call so I can learn more about you. And I'm like, well, you haven't even read my profile yet. And you want me to get on a call? And like, it's the whole concept, like, yeah, let me buy you a $5 cup of coffee so I can pick your brain for 90 minutes and steal your time. Like, you've never even posted on LinkedIn, but you have 10,000 connections and you're sending a calendar link. I don't know if it's a robot or automation, but that was probably one of the biggest red flags. I've got a screenshot. I'll show it to you. I like to argue with people like that. That's just me. I'm stubborn. But cool. I want to get you out of here. We're not on time. That was my fault.
That's fine.
But we're going to close out with the rapid fire round, which is short, sweet, either or fill in the blank questions.
Okay.
Just to get to know you on a personal level a little bit.
Yeah. More. Okay. So, here we go.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Cats or dogs?
I own two cats, but I still like dogs too.
Do you have a favorite season?
Football season.
Okay. So football's the favorite sport?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite player?
It depends. That's a loaded question because for me, I was around for those Super Bowl years for the Bills. Ooh. So I would say my favorite player from back in the day is Jim Kelly. I was actually at his Hall of Fame induction in Canton.
Wow.
But currently my favorite player is Josh Allen.
So Jim Kelly from the past, currently Josh Allen. Let me give you a few more seats at the table. So if you were to have like a dinner, a coffee, a brunch, whatever, and you could invite any 2, 3, 5 people, who would you want to kind of converse with and connect with? They could be live or dead. Anyone inspirational that comes to mind?
I'd love to have a conversation with my sister. My sister's been gone now 24 years. I would love to bring her in and chat for hours. Yeah, that would be my person.
I love that answer. And you can introduce her to Josh Allen too.
There you go.
One more, again, very open-ended. What's exciting you right now? What are you learning right now? What's getting you out of bed in the morning?
I think, personally, it is watching my kids move into, a time in their life where they're exploring lots of new stuff. And I just like to see them get excited. My son is trying drums. And the look on his face every single time he plays the drums, it makes my day. It just makes my day. And it makes all the running around totally worth it. But on the professional side, a client recently told me I energized her. And that's my goal. My goal is to bring the energy that I feel with LinkedIn being my happy place to my clients, so that they think about it as their happy place.
Yes, I love the energy. It is my happy. I'm on board. I'm on the mission with you. Guys, reach out to me if you want an intro. Reach out to Deanna specifically, LinkedIn. It'll be in the show notes. What other action steps? Where should they follow you? Well, obviously on LinkedIn. Website, anywhere else that you hang out?
Yeah, follow me on LinkedIn. Connect with me. I will connect with you if you go to my profile and make some sort of observation or mention Ben's name. I'll connect to you, even though I only have so many connections on LinkedIn. So I will connect. And leverageupllc.com is my my website where you can see how I work with my clients. You can check out this podcast. We'll put it on my website. And others that I've been interviewed for, hear from other clients and check out some of my old content because we put it on the website in addition to LinkedIn. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
So Leverage Up LLC for any, not all my listeners are on LinkedIn. If you aren't, I hope this was a good call to action that you should start. You can check out Leverage Up LLC. You can connect with Deanna on LinkedIn. Wow. Okay. This has been so valuable. I'm going to go and actually update my profile. So by the time this comes out, it's going to be perfect. And I just realized in the intro here, when we were first talking about LinkedIn, you basically gave people a template of the best way to reach out. So if you weren't taking notes, you could listen again. But Deanna literally gave you a template. So when you reach out to her, you can just floor her with your intro. And I promise she'll connect with you. Thanks for coming on the show. This was a ton of fun.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lots of fun.
We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.